Adam, good evening. Good to talk to you. Good to see you tonight.
Always good to be seen. Better to be seen than be viewed, Jack.
That's right. All these listeners of the podcast, the way we're currently configured, basically can't see how handsome you are.
Is that what it was?
Only because, why am I laughing? I don't know why I'm laughing. I'm in a good mood tonight.
That's a good thing.
Yes, it is. You know, as usual, we try to put programs on this podcast that basically depict our coaching. You know, what does coaching mean? We have a company called Maximum Value Partners, you and I, which is a business coaching company. And you and I have been together for over 20 years doing this stuff. And basically what we do is deal with small business owners, and we define that as under 25 employees, and we coach them. We coach them to success. We teach them how to do the business part of business, demystify all that stuff. Basically, if they stay with us, and most do, most have been with us over, six, 8 years. Longest has been with us over 12 years. We basically teach them how to be successful, defined as growing sustainable profits. Profits, important word. And we have a lot of fun doing it. And we've been doing it so long after a career of big corporations, very successful, both of us. We basically have taken those big corporate days and blended it with small business experience, both in owning, buying, auditing, facilitating, doing everything with small businesses. So between those two worlds, we developed 7 keys to success. And if you as a business owner master those 7 keys, and we'll coach you how to do it, your company will be successful too. And what we do with this podcast, we take situations that we've coached and make a program out of it. That program might be 15 minutes, might be an hour, hour and a half. And an hour and a half is pretty much. But we put it into a podcast, and hopefully we try to make it enjoyable rather than too technical and stuffy. So tonight I have a martini here, which I'm sipping along. Adam is picking up his kids and doing stuff that parental duties with younger kids require him to do, or else he'd be sitting there with the martini.
That's
so anyway,
right.
Adam Sunhalder is my partner. My name is Jack Mancini. And again, we're partners with Maximum Value Partners. So with that, I'm going to ask you, Adam, to kind of tune in here. Mm-hmm. And let's talk tonight about valuing inventory.
Okay.
And don't punch each other in the ribs to wake us up. That's a very interesting subject. Most people avoid it, but I think they oversimplify it out of ignorance, not out of stupidity, out of ignorance. Value inventory can be a very complex subject. And there aren't too many people in this world who really know how to do it and do it well. So with that, I'm going to dump the ball over to you and let you play.
You are. You must be getting, you're probably getting a dry, you know, dry palate there, Jack. You need to kind of, you know, that's probably more what it is. So yeah, inventory. So yeah, welcome to Dirty Secrets of Small Business, everybody. And as Jack said, we have different topics and different parts, and usually we're focused on one of the 7 keys. So I guess this one would be maybe a combination of cash flow, as well as kind of your profit planning in terms of what's kind of going on. But like you said, Jack, it's one of those questions that seems like it's a very simple question, right? Like, what do you mean? How do I value inventory? What's the big deal? That seems easy enough, doesn't it?
Yeah, I go on the warehouse and I see it there and costs $1.89, and that's it.
That's it. So, and we start talking about inventory, and if you engage somebody who's more of the financial persuasion, maybe a CPA or something like that, and you start to get into different, you know, nomenclature of LIFO and FIFO and raw material versus finished good versus work versus WIP versus what does all this stuff mean? And am I supposed to be tracking something different than I'm doing, or how does it look? And I think, you know, in order to try to keep things, as you said, Jack, so we aren't going to confuse people. We might do it sometimes, but you know, if we don't want to do it on purpose, if we talk about a different kind of business, okay. And so if you have a manufacturing company the way you track inventory is going to be different than if you have a let's say a retail store or a distribution place, or maybe if you're in the trades, and just part of what you do in the trades is you have some stuff on your truck, or maybe you have some stuff in a warehouse somewhere, or some stuff in your garage, whatever it might be, right? And so the inventory can look in a lot of different ways, right? So from that standpoint, I think part of what you're trying to tell everybody, Jack, is, well, inventory just isn't necessarily inventory, for folks. So it's got to start with, what kind of business do you have?
What if you have a manufacturing company? Let's say you're in the plumbing business, not necessarily plumbing supply, although that's possible, and maybe that's appropriate, but the plumbing business. So you buy some, what do we call the pipe? There's a technical name, it's not plastic, it's, well, you know what
PVC?
I'm talking about. Yes, thank you. The white PVC stuff.
Right.
And let's say you order $1,000 worth of PVCs, straight pipe, maybe in different sizes, and you bring it into your warehouse and you store it. That's $1,000 in inventory. If you went out and poked it or not pulled a piece, but showed your balance sheet. Balance sheet's a discussion for another day. But if you looked at the asset value of that pipe, that $1,000 pipe, it would be $1,000. Now, what if you decided on a Saturday to bring in some guys overtime? You had a big job coming up and you had to put elbows, little right angle pieces there, elbows on half of that inventory. So you had somebody come in and you're going to pay him overtime perhaps because it's a critical job for your customer. And he's going to assemble elbows on all those pieces. So he's added value because you're paying him to take this pipe that costs you $1,000 and he's going to put labor to it. And that labor is probably going to pull overhead because you're flicked on the lights and you had to run the tow motor and you had to do different things to, maybe glue, maybe different supplies, different things. You're going to add other stuff, overhead, to this PVC. So here was $1,000. Now all of a sudden it looks different because somebody put labor and overhead to make it different. So that's all well and good. We could see it. We can see the manufacturing instructions and work order that basically is saying we want to make it look like this. Well, that make it look like this has value to it. How the heck do you put value into that $1,000 worth of material? Because it hasn't been sold yet. Monday morning when everybody comes into work, they're going to see that straight pipe, which was there Friday, now with a bunch of elbows on it, here it is Monday. Well, what's the value of that? That's the issue.
Okay.
What do you think, Adam? How do you figure that out? If you don't, you're basically going to miss some opportunities, maybe in quoting the cost of jobs, or maybe just showing assets on the balance sheet that absorb some costs that could have been expensed. That basically could have lowered your profits for tax purposes. That's good. For showing profits to the bank, that's not as good. But it puts you in that never-never land where you have some discretion. So if you were to create a balance sheet on that Monday night or that Monday morning for that new looking inventory that's sitting on the shelves, you went into it with $1,000 night one, and night or morning two, it looks different and it is different. It has a different value overnight. Magic. How the heck do we do that?
Right. So what typically happens, right? And maybe we start there in terms of what do people typically do? Well, I think first of all, if they go buy the $1,000 worth of pipe, the question is, are they putting it in an inventory to start with, right? Versus are they just expensing it? Saying, hey, I went to the local supply shop and I bought $1,000 of pipe and I just expense it, right? So you're saying, well, look, that $1,000 a pipe is gonna last you for a little while. Maybe it's not just for one job. Maybe it's for a couple different jobs, right? And not only that, you're now coming in and improving it. Okay. Well, so you've bought those elbows, right? So again, if I haven't put my pipe, you know, that straight pipe in the inventory, I'm gonna guess you're probably not putting the elbows in the inventory either, right? I'm probably expensing those things. So part of it starts with just that basic decision, Jack, doesn't it? In terms of deciding, well, when do I put something on my balance sheet and classify it as inventory versus, hey, it's just something that I'm going to run through my P&L and expense it right away?
Very good question. I'm sure there's very technical rules that would guide you in this. But in the absence of those technical rules, you have the discretion, being the owner, being the accountant, to basically put that $1,000, probably a bad example. Maybe $10,000 or $100,000 would be much better. Because if that's altered, it has a bigger impact. And I think you were talking about 179 expenses, blah, 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 this kind of stuff. We won't get fancy pants technical accounting.
That was a different discussion, Jack. That wasn't part of this. But yeah, the Section 179 election to write off stuff that you buy, yeah, it's a whole different. We'll really confuse people with that stuff. That's some boring tax stuff for your CPA stuff.
But, really, all right.
So that's fine. That's okay. So no, it's okay. It brings up a good point, Jack. You have to set some boundaries, or you set some boundaries. The wrong word. You set some what's the word I'm looking for? Not boundaries. Ways you decide in terms of what, you know, at what point does something go on to the balance sheet? So is it at $1,000? Is it at $5,000? You know, at what point is it just being an expense versus I want to make sure it's going on to the balance sheet? So you have to make a decision on that. I think to your point, Jack, it's something that you as the owner can control to a certain extent, right? You want to do something that's meaningful. So I don't know if $1,000 is meaningful, you know, to somebody listening, Jack. It very well might be. That might be okay to put it on the balance sheet. Whereas somebody else who maybe has a company doing, you know, $10 million in sales, $1,000 is no big deal, and they're just going to expense it. They don't put anything on their balance sheet unless it's worth at least $10,000, right? So every company might be a little bit different, Jack. That's okay. So for your company, again, let's assume that $1,000 is, hey, that's a big enough expense for us that we want to make sure that we capitalize that, put it on the balance sheet, put it in inventory, because it's not going to be used up in one day. It's going to be there for a little while. It's going to work for us for a little while. That's usually when you sort of put stuff on the balance sheet where it's going to be hanging around for a while and you want to make sure it's there when you need it. All right.
That's right. Physically, that's one state that it's in, and financially it's another state. You know, the two obviously can marry and do marry, but they have different uses. So the whole idea that we're talking about tonight is the inventory itself that you buy sits there in a certain state, physical state, and it sits there until it's altered. And once it's altered, the process of altering it has costs associated with that. And those costs can either be added to the value of that inventory or not, depending on rules. And the impact of valuing that inventory can have a big effect on your profit, because either you capitalize it, thus reducing profit, or you basically expense it, which decreases your profit. So which one do you choose? I'm sure there are big volumes, very thick volumes, describing cost accounting and things that you do value or add to that straight pipe that we just bought, and how to put a value associated with that work into the inventory. Either you expense it or you don't. You capitalize it. And then that can have a big impact. And going back to my audit days, you know, with fraud, one of the biggest areas of fraud and stealing and manipulation of financial data is through inventory accounts. You know, when we were talking millions, billions of dollars and huge volumes, you know, how in the world do you measure this stuff? It's always the area that vexes the suits and ties, you know, from the standpoint of trying to measure that stuff.
Are you referring to shrinkage, Jack?
Pardon me?
Are you referring to shrinkage?
That's correct. How did we lose 100,000 gallons of oil here? And,
Right. That's one of the things that Jack's referring to is that, you know, when you have, you know, lots of stuff, right, whether it be in a warehouse or a factory, what have you, stuff just seems to disappear. Right. And that's the technical term. They refer to that as shrinkage. So often there'll be assumptions. They assume that, hey, if I have a 100,000 of inventory, I assume that $1,000 of that inventory or 1% of it's just going to disappear somehow. Right. It'll just kind of walk out the door. People have some sticky fingers or just, you know, or creative ways of accounting for stuff. As you said, Jack, that things just, you know, start to kind of disappear. Guys are doing side jobs or pulling things off the shelf. So you aren't going to notice a couple of those bolts or pipes or whatever it might be. Right.
That's right. I'll look at Walmart, for example, and their billions of dollars of inventory and in various categories running the gamut, you know, who, Everyone basically alive could use something in Walmart, and so, you know, inventory leaves. It's not what we're talking about with cost accounting here, although it is. It has that same principle, but basically it's a more retail oriented, meaning it's packaged, ready to go. You can pick it up and take it off the shelf and somehow get it out the building without paying for it. You add these times 100,000 or a million, all of a sudden you have a lot of value leaving the door, to your point, Adam.
You're reminding me of Johnny Cash, Jack.
Thank you.
All right, wasn't it One Piece at a Time? Isn't that the song?
You're the expert. You're the expert in song titles.
That's the song. I'll double check it before I get the notes pulled together. That's the song. Yeah, where he talks about getting his Cadillac, right? One piece at a time, working at the GM factory. He could, you know, stick stuff in his lunch pail, and things that couldn't fit in the lunch pail, he'd be sticking outside, but it'd be one thing at a time, right? And it took him years to get it, but he put it all together and things weren't working and missing a headlight. It's a great song. But one piece at a time, kind of, yeah, bringing some stuff out and see how it goes. So again, you know, what we're trying again to bring light to it, but just to, you know, bring awareness to this in terms of, hey, there's some decisions that you want to make, and depending on your business, the inventory piece might be much more critical for you, or might not be as critical for you. Certainly, in the manufacturing space, there's lots of discussions around inventory, Jack, in terms of, like, I was throwing some terms out earlier in terms of, you know, raw material versus work in process, which is, you know, short, or they call it WIP, W-I-P, not the WIP, W-H-I-P, like you're whipping somebody, Jack, but the W-I-P, work in process, and then finished goods. And that's usually the process it goes through for a company. And if you're manufacturing things, the value of that raw material versus what it's worth when it's in process of being produced, and then once it's a finished product. And there's a different values along the way. And as you start to add to it, and for some, depending on what your manufacturing process is like, that may happen in the matter of minutes and hours, or may happen over days, weeks, or months in terms of as you process your stuff and how you start to value those things. And to your point, Jack, if you think of some of the bigger companies where they're constantly having things coming in, things going out, you know, raw material prices change all over the place, you start to get into some more crazy stuff like LIFO and FIFO. LIFO and FIFO.
Oh, boy, yeah, LIFO and FIFO. But even before that, the applying overhead. So you got a manufacturing company that's producing thousands of parts, varying parts at different costs. How in the world do you figure out, A, how to basically value those costs and then set selling price? We've talked about selling price in previous episodes. And it becomes very important to understand the cost of your product. And that's how you do it. You apply overhead usually by saying a machine hour or a labor hour costs $15 an hour. I got to add more cost to that for the plant, for the utilities, for the rent, for the insurance, for all these, you know, for the guys who don't produce directly but indirectly. How do we capture those costs, add them to the basic raw material? That's costs now. We're only talking costs, and then come up with a selling price. Pretty complex set of things. So that question of how do you value your inventory becomes a simple question, like so many simple questions, that has degrees of complexity that most people don't understand. They don't even think about it. But when you look at a piece of a a car or a tank for overseas military or whatever that is going to be, you have a lot of costs associated with that that are beyond material. And they have systems that basically capture those costs and apply it, in theory, to the product that's being made. Now we have what we're calling a completed cost. And when the politicians get hold of that, if it's a military job, it becomes mush totally very quickly. But if they don't get hold of it and you're just trying to run your company and make parts and price them accordingly so that you have a nice profit, the inventory is a huge factor. Huge factor. Not only is going to walk out the door vis-a-vis Johnny Cash, Adam, or it can sit on the shelf, or it can be in process and also sit on the shelf. And you're coming up and being the financial guy that you are, you're looking at a balance sheet and saying, hey, what's this big cost called inventory? What is that? What's involved with that? So somebody brings out volumes of reports and tells you how it's done.
Right.
You may not agree, and there's lots of subjectivity to it. So,
well, part of this is, you know, like you said, if inventory is a big part of your world, you know, again, even let's go back to, you know, somebody's not manufacturing, Jack. Let's go back to somebody who uses this inventory as part of their work. So, if you're involved in the trades at all, and chances are you're going to have some inventory stuff that's there. And as you're quoting jobs, you know, you have different rates you quote, you know, you charge for your different labor. And you know, we'll probably have some different markups that you're going to use in terms of your other direct costs. But to your point, Jack, is that if whatever that markup I'm applying, that's one thing. But what you're applying the markup to, right? Okay, so look, you know, if your inventory is valued at $1,000, you're applying markup to that versus if it's valued at $2,000. Okay, the price you're going to be charging, the profits you're going to be making, are going to be different on those jobs because you have all of your costs in there. So, you know, some of those hidden costs like you're talking about, Jack. You know, so picture somebody who's part of your small company that spends a lot of time researching the best places to go find that inventory from, right? They're spending hours going in there trying to figure those things out. Where do those hours go? Shouldn't those hours be part of the inventory? That's your point. Shouldn't those be part of the inventory? If I paid somebody 30 hours at $20 an hour, $600 I paid somebody to search out and find the best source for that. Well, shouldn't that somehow be added to the inventory cost for me to make sure it's priced in there so that when I sell that inventory and mark it up, it's truly got all the costs in there? Or your point, well, we got to store it, you know, somewhere. And so there's certain square footage that's taking up, or we have, you know, keep it at a certain temperature, right? Wherever it might be. Also, there are some costs to having that stuff. And there's
cost is the key word. You know, it's not an expense it's an expense. We can get into discussions on cost and expense, but it's a true cost. That $600 person that you talked about, they aren't wheeling a wrench, they aren't using a machine, they aren't sitting on some mobile device moving equipment around. But yet without them, you couldn't produce this thing as cost effective as you otherwise could. And if you don't care about your costs, when you finally get to a markup of your cost, you're going to be too high to even sell the stuff. Nobody's going to buy from you because your costs are too high, or your selling price is too high. It's the heart and soul of the complexity of certainly a manufacturing plant, but other businesses as well have those challenges. Not quite the same that we've been talking about tonight, but it's complex. It's necessary to have a system and discipline to basically understand your cost flow, where your costs basically become fixed, where your costs become associated with the variability of the product. You start to use language. You start to have people with green ties. I don't know why green, no good reason, but they have green ties coming to the table and basically add an element of boredom and add an element of yet strategy that basically is often overlooked in small businesses. Setting selling price determines you to set costs. A big part of setting costs are inventory. And that's what we've been talking about tonight. And I hope we confused you because that was our intention tonight.
I want to make sure it's on the radar. It's an important thing here, Jack. And again, it can be very impactful from a profit standpoint, or it can be very impactful from losing money standpoint, and just keeping track of all this stuff. You know, keeping track of your inventory, if you got quite a bit of it, you know, it's dollar bills, right? And it looks like a piece of pipe out there to you or something like that. But you know what? Those are dollar bills. And those are your dollar bills. And so, you know, to be able to make sure that it's properly valued, properly tracked, it's an important part of what you're trying to do to kind of grow, to make sure you minimize the shrinkage. How about that, Jack? Let's minimize the shrinkage.
Right. That's a good minimize the shrinkage.
All right. Well, that's enough on the, I think, on the inventory topic for tonight, Jack. I kind of introduced that and kind of let people know about it. We appreciate you, you know, listening to today's show. If you missed any of our prior shows, you can get them all at our website, dirtysecretsofsmallbusiness.com, or our Facebook page by the same name. You can go to your favorite, if you have a smart device, you can go to your favorite podcast provider and subscribe to it there, and it'll get delivered to your device, or delivered to your device every week when we drop a new episode. If you want to be part of the show, you can email us at radio@maximumvp.com or give us a call, 877-849-0670. Happy to answer any of your questions. You can bring them on the air like this as well and address them there as well. But we appreciate you being part of Dirty Secrets of Small Business, Jack. It's been a good show.
Okay, good. Good seeing you. Good talking to you, Adam.
All right, we'll see everybody next week.
You got it.